We're going to discuss tonight, based off the Mishnah, Perakov Mishnah Tezvav, as the title says, we're going to discuss the topic of Chumras, which is a timely topic related to Pesach as well. We'll read the Mishnah first. The Mishnah, we have a new Anna, so we had Hillel and Shammai the past few Mishnayos. I got it? Hillel and Shammai? No problem. And then we have Rabbi Gamliel. So the Mishnah states, Rabbi Gamliel, Haya Omer. With the, you know, the Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, and the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel, Hay Omer, Aseh Lecha Rav, V'Histalik Min Asafik, V'Al Tarba La'aser Amdos. Aseh Lecha Rav, pretty easily translated. V'Histalik Min Asafik, remove yourself, try to distance yourself from doubt, from Asafik. This is a hard line here, V'Al Tarba La'aser Amdos. And don't be too accustomed to take your maisros when you, when a person goes and has their produce that is obligated in Trumos and Maestros, and the Maestros, the 10% that go, the Maestration that goes to the Levi, don't be too accustomed to estimate. Make sure that when you do it, you take an exact counting of how much is 10%. So the first question that I hope some people are thinking about, great. I was waiting for someone to ask that. Aseh Lecha Rav. So that was perfect. So that is in Mishnah Vav, Yoshua ben Prachya, but Natan Arbali Kibul Mehem, Yoshua ben Prachya Omer, Aseh Lecha Rav, Kana Lecha Chaver, Vavidanas Kol Adam Lechav Schus. So now again, we have a repetition of Aseh Lecha Rav. And this, there's a machlokas in the Mefarshim, how to understand it. Rashi says exactly what you just said, Aseh Lecha Rav, and Rashi says three words, Kfar Pershnuhu Lamala. I already explained what that means earlier in Mishnah Vav. So what Rashi seems to be alluding to is that it's an exact repetition. Now, why would we have an exact repetition? Literal, same thing over again. What would be the purpose of that?
Everyone had something. These are three things. So everyone had three things.
Right. So this points. Right. So that points to what Pirkei Avos is. It really gets into what the point of purpose of Pirkei Avos. And according to this, what it sounds like we're saying is that we could have repetitions. Why? What it means is Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. A lot of the Mefarshim make that that diuk, hu haya omer, Rabbi Gamliel haya omer. It's not that just Rabbi Gamliel had this to say, haya omer, he would always say this. This is what he stood for. Each Tana is basically telling you their motto of how they lived their life, what their life was all about. So there's something in common. Yoshua ben Prachya and Rabbi Gamliel shared the view of Aseh Lecha Rav as a very important aspect of their life, speaking from probably their life experience, probably depending on their relationships with their Rebbeim and how important and how much they gained from that. So Rabbi Gamliel said the similar thing and taught a similar teaching. This is what he stood for, and we could have a repetition. But other Mefarshim don't go that way. And they're going to see that there's something unique here to this Aseh Lecha Rav in its context of the rest of the Mishnah, opposed to earlier Aseh Lecha Rav in the context of your relationships with people. Right? It's about your relationship with your Rebbe. Aseh Lecha Rav, Kenei Lecha Chaver, that has called on the kafshchus, how you interact with those people. Here it might be coming from a different approach of Aseh Lecha Rav. And then the next question, which is the Mefarshim we're going to deal with, is Avi Al Tarbel Li Aser Amdos. Is a very strange line in this context. Do not be too accustomed to, when you take your meiser, to take it in estimation. You should take it in exact accounting. What's the question on that? Why would the Mishnah and Avos be speaking about it's a halacha. The altar belly aser amdos. We'll see why it's a problem and what could be wrong with taking too much meiser. Why is that in a mishnah of Pirkei Avos? It belongs in a mishnah of meiseros. We're not talking about staka, where maybe we can understand why it's in a mishnah of Pirkei Avos. We're talking about the meiseros that you give to the Levi. That belongs. There's a mesechta of mishnayos called meiseros. Maybe we should discuss that there. So that is also discussed. And there may not be so many great answers to that, but we'll see. Ben Yonah has a good approach here, but we'll start with the Rambam. And the Rambam is bothered with the question that you asked, Aseh Lecha Rav, twice. And the Rambam says, Zeh Asher Tziva Kan, second source on the sheet, Ba'asiyas Rav, Ein Hu Le'inyan Alimud, we're not talking about, which is probably what we were talking about in Mishnah, what was it, Zayin? Mishnah Vav, which is in terms of a Rebbe of Limud and a Rebbe for life. That's not what we're talking about here. Ella horos halacha. Here we're talking about having a Rebbe in terms of psak halacha, specifically. How do we know that? Look at the next line of the Mishnah. V'istalik ben asafik. Amar aseh lecha ish l'rav. And says the Rambam, you should find a person, an individual to be a Rav, Kadesha Tismoch Alav, but Mutter Basar, so that you could rely on him to know what is Mutter and what is Asar. But Tistalagatam and Asvekos. If you have a Rav, then you won't have any Svekos. Even if you're a very learned person and you start raising doubts on halacha, is the halacha this way, is the halacha that way, and even if you think maybe I have a hunch of how to decide this, you will not be fully confident. There's a sense of confidence that a person has where he calls his Rav, and the Rebbe tells him the halacha is this is mutter, even though you know, okay, if you know it's really usher, that's a different story, but let's say you thought it was usher, and you were convinced and you made an argument in your head, based on what I know about this topic, I know this Mishnah Brura, and I heard this Shir, and I have a pretty good sense this is usher. And then what do you know? You call your Rav up, and he tells you it's mutter. Most people would say, okay, I thought it was usher, histalik min asafik, now I have no doubt, I have someone to rely on. Some people wrongfully think, it's a negative attitude, that even if he's wrong, it's okay. Like, you know, if I go to Gehenim for this mistake, I'm going to pin it on him, because he told me it's mutter. So
what
that
does the histolic mean?
What is the translation?
Yeah, yeah.
To remove oneself. Siluk. Siluk means to distance. Not distance, but to be remove yourself from. Histolic. The shorish is the siluk. Samach lam and kuf. To remove themselves from the suffix. Maybe we'll touch on why that unique language. But it, with that attitude of, oh, I have a rub, whatever he says goes, and then it's not my problem anymore. That is not the proper attitude. The Chavetz Chaim speaks about that. That a person should be somech on the Rav, but if they know or they have a feeling that maybe there's something off here, then it's their obligation to investigate. And at the end of the day, it's their obligation to make sure that things are right. Obviously, if they follow the Rav and they don't know any better, that's a different story. But, in some degree, histalik min asafik allows a person to be confident in his psak. Histalik min atam asfeko, says the Rambam. Kederach shamar v'yushami. Zil aisili zakin min ashuk de'ismach alav v'ashri lecha. As the Yerushalmi says, go bring me someone from the shuk. Zakin atam chachem. It says here, it's the Yerushalmi, and look up what exactly the context is. And what we cut on, the first parak, go bring, there must have been some shayla in the base medrash, and they said, go bring a zakein, bring a talmid chacham from the shuk, and we'll be so mech on him, and then I'll feel much better. Vashrei lach. V'chein hirchik me hafrashas ha-maisers ba'umad v'mnei shum min ha-sveikos. And the Rambam then ties the whole Mishnah together. The three things in the Mishnah surround the concept of safek. Asteh l'charav, so that you shouldn't have sveikos. Sestalik min ha-safek. And therefore, not therefore, but as well, the al-tarba la-aser amdos, don't be too accustomed to take Meister an estimation, because an estimation is a suffix. What you're saying is, I don't know if this is the right amount of Meister. Maybe it's too much. Maybe it's too little. Here's an estimation. Person shouldn't live their life based on estimations. They should do things in an exact way and know with confidence histalik min asafik. So that is the way the Rambam learns the Mishnah.
So, thanks.
Yes, please.
We could be so mad if we have a Rav. Then we can be somech on the Rav.
You're somech on the Rav, right?
So, but you had said you, I mean.
Meaning, if a person shouldn't have the attitude that if you, I'm going to ask the Rav, and even if this is wrong, then.
But the Rav just told you what.
Right,
you
but let's
do.
Say a person sometimes, you know, first of all, Rabbanim could make mistakes, and if a person has it,
well,
you know,
that you can't have a Selah Chorav. Well, and then say no, well, the Rav might not be.
No,
right,
no.
Make
if though, now you shouldn't say that. As a rule, and most competent rabbanim, some people have rabbanim who they know, unfortunately, aren't as competent,
right.
And they're still going to him, and what are they saying? I know this is incorrect. I learned this is incorrect, but why am I, and I'm going to still follow what he said, because it's his problem. He made this psak. That's the attitude I'm saying is problematic. You're right.
That's what the Rambam
No, that's
saying.
Not what the Rambam is saying. I'm saying the opposite. The Rambam is saying, so you should make sure that you find the Rav where you can be so mechan in confidence.
Exactly right.
If a person has a Rav where they are not so confident in him, and maybe they've heard things,
so
which is definitely right, they should find another Rav. And what I'm saying is the problematic attitude to say, I'm going to stick with this Rav. He's a Rav, and it's his fault when things go wrong for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And maybe now, obviously, I'm not talking about any Rabbanim that we know here well. But there could be such a concern, right? The Rambam is saying the exact opposite. That's the point. We should have so much confidence. We should have so much confidence in our Rabbanim that we're able to rest assured, sleep tightly, that their psakim are given with confidence, and therefore there's nothing to doubt upon. Exactly, that's exactly the point. Good. So the Rambam's major theme of the Mishnah is safik. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, similar point. First, he says in terms of the Rav, maybe this is the Chiddush according to Rabbeinu Yonah, why we repeat it twice. That here we're talking about, but some Mefarshim even said this in Mishnah Vav. Here we're talking about the Rav, even if he's not a great Chacham. I think we saw Mefarshim that said this earlier. Even if he's an equal to you, maybe even you are in a certain way stronger than him, better than him, but you should still make him a Rav because that will allow you to be Somech Enem. And he says in the third line, the second line, then the second line, Shepam Chacham Yistapik Baho Ra. But in Yodeya Lama Lomar Im Yatir of the Shema who Aser Vitero Tekala Yado, Vim Yasser Amutter Nimsa Master Mamono Shal Yisrael, Vatorah Chasolav. Why is it that a person should have a Rav and be so Mechanim and remove himself from the Safik? Because sometimes a Chacham is not sure, and because he's not sure, he'll say it's Aser. And that's it. He'll say it's Aser. What's so bad about that? Well, let's say someone worked very hard on kashering their kitchen for Pesach, and they spent the whole night cooking all their meals for their Seder, and then they realize something in the kashering process maybe didn't go 100%. There's some doubt that's raised, and they go to the Rav, and the Rav doesn't know. So if he doesn't know, and he says, he doesn't tell you that, but he says, okay, I'm thinking in my head, I don't really know, but let's hedge our bets and be safe and say it's Usher, so you've just caused a lot of stress and financial harm to a person. They're going to have to throw out all the time, effort, hours that went into it, and the cooking, and the actual food. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, we know from Rashi and Chumash, the Torah is very concerned with saving Jewish people's money. We shouldn't just throw our money out there. Yes, Simi?
What about if you're like throwing out your chametz first and then you start?
Right, that's a great question, right? And also in terms of throwing out your chametz, and also you should be concerned about money, right? People just take chametz and throw it in a garbage can, and that's it. If people can benefit from it, if someone can eat it before Pesach, or some food pantries probably sell chametz and safer after Pesach. So you see, it's to be worried about people's money in the context of Pesach. Excellent point. So the reason why a Rav has to be careful in Pesach and know confidently his Stalik Min HaSafik is because if he gives a Pesach Min HaSafik and it's just Machmir, that's what we're talking about tonight, well, let's just be Machmir and have Chumras, that will cause damage, and he has no right to do that. He has to be confident, he has to make sure that he gets a proper answer. And then therefore, for a person himself, right, in your house, don't just tell your wife, throw in the garbage, Yasa Chaver Rav, even if you're yourself a Rav, so every Rav should have a colleague who he'll call when he's in doubt. V'yasa Horel Piv, Afil Ima Davru Pashat Alav, Afil Lahatir Ashi Ino Gadol Kamosu B'Chachma, V'chein Amru Agonim Zal, Kolechid Lamar Misafgilei, even if the Agonim had a catchy line, Kolechid Lamar Misafgilei, for so-and-so, for Reuven, he has a suffix. Lamar Pashatle, for someone else, everyone has a different perspective on things, and even if it's a complicated question, and you are so caught up in all the different complicated steps of it, someone who may be on a lower level of you, he'll just see right through the question and say, oh, it's clearly mutter. And even though he may not know as much as you, he might have that vantage point of having clarity and saying, this is mutter. And that's why you should go to a Rav, even someone who wouldn't be, who's your equal, or even if you're his superior to him, in order that you should get that confidence and that clarity in Psak Halacha. Feel Tam Lefnei Arav. It's possible to even a Talmud might have some clarity in something that his Rebbe would not have. That's the first half of the Mishnah. Then Rabbeinu Yonah says, so how do we tie this in to the last part of the Mishnah, which is a little cryptic, a Halacha of Maisros? Al Tarbe Liaser Amdos, says Rabbeinu Yonah, a person has intention that he wants to give a lot. The Mishnah Maestro says there are three shiurim of Maeser. There's Ayin Yafe, a Mido Beinonis, and an Ayin Ra. You could give a minimal amount, you could give a mid-range amount, or you could give the maximum. Even if a person wants to give the max, and he's going to estimate, he shouldn't do that. Shemadad Yosef in Asiris, Nimsa Shu Tevel, She'inu Mu'usar, okay. So first Rabbeinu Yonah explains to us the halachic background that we need to know. What is so bad about being marbim b'maisros? Let's say I do estimate and I overly estimate. Great. So I gave too much maisros. Now I'm going to have less for myself. Okay. Not so bad. What's wrong with that? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no. It's based on the Gemara and the Mishnayos and maisros and the Gemara and Kedushin that if a person takes too much maisros, then if you take too much maestros and you don't have enough left over to be called what we call matukan, the maestro that was fixed, you have the original tevel, and then you have what needs to be fixed, then the Gemara says it's chozer tevel arisho, and it goes back to being tevel. If you take too much maestro, then it's not just a neutral, it undoes the mitzvah. It has to be in a certain range. It has to be not over the top too much. That will cause a person to think that he did a good job taking mitzvahs, and it's really still tevel. That's what's the halacha, why it's problematic. And then Rabbi Yonah asks the question implicitly, why is this in Pirkei Avos? It should be in mitzvahs. So he says it's a mashal. Who mashal? Me'inyan ha-svara. She'in la'adam la'sosim umad. Why we use, I tried to think about, you have to know, I guess, a little bit deeper, like what the hidden messages of the mitzvah of Mysore says, why we picked this example. We could have picked many examples in the Torah where a person needs to make sure to get it right. But he says, for this mashal to be true. But what is the mashal? It's a mashal for a person's svara, the way a person thinks. How so? She'ein la'adam la'sosim umad. A person shouldn't use his svara in an estimated way. He should use the gift that God gave him, his intellectual faculties, to see things in a clear way, not in a guessing way, have clear facts. Histolic min hasafik. El haderech ha'ikar b'shiyar l'sof hadas b'ein zeh b'chol hasvaros sheyeshu lefnim v'achacham al pi shesvaros v'note l'zeh atzad meivin hu makah ki chacham acha yachal omer l'cha derech acheres. Everything that a person thinks about, he knows I'm thinking about it this way. If I present it to a different chacham, maybe he'll give me the other side of the story. There's no such thing as 100% clarity. El Shazen Nir Elin Rav Yosser. I'm not so clear on this. I'm estimating. My svara says it seems to me that maybe this is okay. All things being equal, this is the way I understand it. V'yesh svara shachacham mechadish also yakev yeda kihu muchrachas. Sometimes the chacham will think about something and he knows this has to be true, and there's no other way to look at it. Al pi svara hanachona ve'ena le'apanim acheres. It's to use your svara to make sure that what you're deciding to do is mukhrach. It must be this way. And there isn't another way to look at it. And that's what it means. Al tarbe la serum dos. Do not estimate things. Don't just say, oh, yeah, it makes sense. Probably is this way. Person should make sure to be clear. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Asei l'charav histag min hasafik. To gain clarity, not just use our svara in a cloudy way, but to have it in a clear way to make proper decisions and proper in a halachic context and in a general context. That is Rabbi Yonah's explanation of the Mishnah. And what part of what they're discussing, not where he's going with the svara thing as much, but part of what he's discussing in the earlier part is that sometimes a person will have an attitude, let me hedge my bets. I don't know, I'm in doubt. It always pays to be machmir. What do I have to lose? So Rabbi Yonah already told us one thing that I have to lose. You have to lose money. It's not a proper thing to be machmir on someone else, or even on your own expense, when you really could have been makel. And Rashi and the Gemara in Beitza really drives this point home. The Gemara in Beitza says that when the Mishnah is teaching, the way the Mishnah sets up how it teaches things, it always wants to teach the chiddush in the makel shita. If there's something that there could be a chiddush brought out to a shita that's saying a kula, the Mishnah tries to teach that, and the Gemara explains why is that. The Gemara says, "Koach nehitera adif." The strength of making a psak lekula is better, and therefore we want to teach it as a chiddush. So Rashi explains why is that. Why is koach nehitera adif? Because Rashi says someone who's makel in a proper way has to know the facts really well. He has to be so well versed in the sugya to give a confident makel decision, because he's saying you have the right to go on this, and there's a lot to lose. If he's wrong, the person can be over an avera. So he must be very confident and must know things well. To be machmir, Rashi says, it's very easy. You don't have to know anything. You say exactly that. I know nothing, and therefore be machmir. To be makil, in a true way, a person has to have a lot of knowledge of the sugyas. So we see already the problem that could stem from chumras. A, it could cause damage to others. B, it could allow a person to never advance. Because they'll say, if I'm always going to be machmir, he never pushes himself to understand things in a deeper way to have the ability to be makel. It's easy. It's the easy way out, so to speak, to always be machmir. Now we'll see there are places that are appropriate for chumrah, but with that attitude, chumrah coming from a lack of knowledge is not a proper thing. And on this topic of chumrah, I saw there's a very interesting piece from Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. There's a well-known person named Rav Moshe Shapiro who's a Yadav ben Chaim L'Chaim, who's currently alive. But there's another Rosh Shiva named Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. He's a Rosh Shiva in Be'er Yaakov, in Eretz Yisrael. He was a very close Talmud of the Brisker Rav. His grandfather, was Rav Rafal Shapiro, who was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin after the time of the Netziv. And he was a very... He was many Svarim, and a very important personality. He brought us a lot of the Mesoros from the Brisker Rav and from Chaim Soloveitchik, that he was, because he was such a close Talmud, he was actually related to them. He was able to know things and report things in the name of the Brisker Rav that other people weren't privy to. And he has a whole discussion based on this Mishnah of the sometimes the pitfalls of being machmir to try to, and this is more not just in Psak Halacha, but there is a common practice where some people, just the way people personalities are, whatever it is, where they just like to collect chumras. That's fun for them to go and try to find as many chumras as they can in certain areas of halacha, maybe in all areas of halacha. That we'll see is part of the problem, that some people just say, okay, I like to be machmir where it's good for me, so I'll be machmir in like 6 areas of halacha, but there's, you know, 1,000 areas of halacha where they're not. So then, unless they're trying along the way, calls into question sometimes the sincerity of those chumras. And he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says, offer Rabbeinu Yonah also, we've spoken about this here as many times as we should have, the parish of the Chassid Yavetz. We've tried to research the history a little bit. Chassid Yavetz on Pirkei Avos. So on this mission, he expands upon Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says the following. Can put it on the sheet, but he says, Ki a hergel al kol davar shilton. Hergel, a person, sometimes his habits rule over him. He gets into a habit, a bad habit, and it's hard to break a habit. And therefore, in our Mishnah, in tirbel aser umdos, if a person is, right, that's the diak in the word tirbe, is accustomed to often take maestros in an estimated way, af bishab heter, even though you're allowed to do that, because usually he's going to get it right, at also came to kabel nashcha his palus v'tavol avral safek b'davar acher. By being overly machmir in one area, you're going to be accustomed to using estimations. When you're accustomed to using estimations, you may not be as careful in other areas of halacha, and you'll come in a different area when there's a suffix, and you'll be makil. Just because in one case you decide based on your own estimation to be machmir, the next case you could be makil. How is
it? To estimate master.
So that's exactly what we're saying. That makir, then you can, as long as you don't way overly take way too much maaser where they're. It's going to end up
so
causing.
Doesn't this mean that you shouldn't apply a rule in one case to everything? Because if you're allowed to estimate from myself.
You're, well, the mission, even though technically by estimating you will generally get it right and you won't overdo it or underdo it, but al tarber lasso, you shouldn't accustom yourself to doing that. You should try to do things in the exact way the halacha ideally prescribes you to. So once that's true, it's a lesson in other areas of halacha where a person shouldn't do things out of estimation. You shouldn't just say, oh, you know, it seems to be that this is, I should be machmir. He should try to get clarity and know exactly what's mutter, what's usser, and do based and act based on that clarity, opposed to doing things based on estimation. That's basically what we're saying. And what's the danger in that? What's so bad? You'll be machmir. The danger is that we're starting to take the Torah in our own hands. And we're saying that it's not what the Torah says. It's not that my seichel, my understanding, I'm being mevatel that, I'm nullifying that to what the Torah actually thinks, and I'm going to follow the Torah. It's more about what I think, and sometimes I'm in the mood to be machmir, and the next day, I could be in the mood to be makel. And he quotes a very entertaining mashal from the Dumna Magid, who was known for his mashalim, who said on the mashal, on the lav in Sefer Dvarim of Baal Tosif, right? The Torah says, L'sol sifu haladavar asher anochi mitzaveh eschem, lo sigru bimenu, shmoras kol mitzvos. Person shouldn't add or subtract from the Torah. Says the Magid, okay, why we shouldn't take away from mitzvahs? We get it. You're not doing the mitzvah. Torah said, you know, how many four corners of tzitzis and four parshios in your tefillin, and you take one away, that's not tefillin. But if I already have what the Torah said, and I happen to like another parsha, I like parshas Vayikra, so I'll add it. We understand what's wrong with taking away, but what's the problem with adding? So he says, I'll give you a mashal. Mashal is, a person borrows a measuring cup or any kli from his neighbor, and when it comes time to return it, he brings him back two. And the neighbor says, I only lent you one, what's two? He said, yeah, it gave birth, it had a baby, it had a second, the kli reproduced itself, so here, now you have two, your kli multiplied itself. So the neighbor says, this guy's crazy, but I'm not going to ask any questions, I'll take two, Caleb, why not? Thank you very much. Then, sometime later, he's having a big festive party, and he says, you know that really fancy, you know, candelabra you have? I can put in the middle of my table. I think it'll really enhance my party. Can I please borrow that? And the neighbor says, sure. So he said, last time he came back, too. Of course, a very expensive candle set I'll lend to you. And then when it came time to return, he said, where's my menorah? And he said, it died. So what do you mean it died? It's a menorah. It came back from menorah. So he said, well, last week when I told you that it gave birth, you had no kashas on me. And now that I'm telling you it died, you're not going to believe me? And it died. So take it for what it is. That's the mashal he explained. So what's the nimshal? That, yes, sometimes when I'm adding things, it looks good. I'm doing more. But the same attitude that a person has of doing more, what's the attitude? That it's me who's doing it. It's not Hashem's mitzvah anymore. This is me. It's my game. I like tefillin. I like five parshios. I'm going to add the parshios haketores. People say ketores after davening. I'll put the ketores in my tefillin. Then the next time, the mezuzah, so I'll start taking off mezuzahs from some of the rooms of my house because it becomes my Torah. And that is a very scary concern. And we'll talk about that. That's what is part of a big discussion that many people have in this generation. Things you hear about, I'm talking about all the time, individuality and self-expression within the halachic system. That people sometimes feel that they're confined by the halachic system, that they want to do things in their own way. How come we dive in the same exact way and with the same thing and we can't break out and try new things? Why are we so confined in the halachic system? And part of it, and we'll see there is a lot of room for self-expression, but the other extreme is to prevent from this attitude, because then it doesn't become the Rabbonu Shalom's Torah mitzvahs. It becomes what makes us feel good, and it becomes our Torah mitzvahs, and then pretty soon it becomes distorted. That, he says, is the first problem in Chumras. Then he says, second problem, and that he quotes from the Vidui of Rav Nissen Gaon, right? When we say an Erev Yom Kippur, we say Tefillah Zakah, that was written by the Chai Adam, and part of the Tefillah Zakah printed in the Machzor, and we also have the Vidui of Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, and there's a line in there, actually it's always caught me, and it's interesting if you think about it, the question that stands out from it, what you say in the Vidui is, Es asher tarati tamesi, v'asher timesa tarasi, that what you Hashem was metahir, what you said is mutter, what you said is pure, I said is tameh, and what you said is tameh, I said is pure. So the second thing, what you said is tameh and I said is pure, that was my chet. We get why there's a chet. Same question as the Baal Tosav, Hashem Timisi Terasi. Hashem said you said it's off limits, and I said it's no, I could go for it. But the other way around, Hashem said I can benefit from it, I can enjoy it, and I said it's tameh. Okay, so I made a fence around the Torah. I took an extra precaution. What's the chet in that? And he explains, similar to what we've been saying, the chet is that a person loses what he calls the kavach ha-havchana, what the Rishonim are describing here, the ability to see things in a clear way. We start having muddled vision. Yesterday, what we thought was really mutter, we're saying is usher. Tomorrow, what we think is really usher, we're going to say is mutter. Hashem's given us the ability to have a seichel, to have our knowledge. He blessed us with that. He blessed us with svarim and rabbanim. We could become knowledgeable. If a person's going to be machmir all the time, he's going to lose that ability to benefit from his knowledge, to see things with clarity and really understand. Hashem wants me to benefit from this. He wants me to enjoy this. This is mutter. Why start up there if there are no if there's a suffix, there are no svikos, there's no doubts, this is mutter. A person is supposed to take some simcha and enjoyment in a proper context from this world. So to start answering everything, not a good attitude. And that will cause the person to lose that havchana, that ability to properly put each thing in its place and understand what could be problematic or not. And in terms of that, he tells another very interesting story this time. So the story in the town of Kelm. Where we know the Sabbath Mikelm, the great Bali Musa, the famous Talmud Torah of Kelm, where they were known to act so stringently in terms of their midos and how they interacted with each other, besides the great Talmud Torah that went along there. And he said that this is a story that the Sabbath Mikelm said over. That in Kelm, this is a true story, there was next to the yeshiva, there was a store, a makolet, like you find in many towns in Eretz Yisrael, right next to the yeshiva. It's a very, very lucrative business to put a makolet there. So someone in Kelm had a makolet. And the main people that shop there, maybe there's another store for the townspeople, were the people in the yeshiva. And he felt that, especially in Kelm, he didn't need to employ all the time someone behind the counter. When he could be there, he was there. And he left like it stuck a box, and everything was clearly marked what price each thing costs, and apples this much, and maybe probably just potatoes and eggs, whatever they had there in Kelm, but milk, and everything had its price, and that's the way it was. And then one time, or every week, he went through the calculations, and he calculated everything that was taken from the store, and how much money was in the stucco box, and he realized there was some amount of money, not a large amount of money, but enough to notice that there was more money in the tzedakah box than there was merchandise taken from the store. And he was bothered by this. That means he owes someone money. So one of the yeshiva guys, he owns money. He went to the Sabbath Mikhail and he said, he told him the situation. And Sabbath Mikhail, with his insight, said, well, probably what happened was that someone was really thirsty. They wanted a drink. And they were in a rush. And they didn't have exact change. It cost whatever their version was of a dollar. And they only had, a $5 bill. And they said, it's I'm in such a hurry. It's worth it for me. I'm so thirsty. And they dropped it in. And they never bothered to recalculate, and that was what they given to you. So the guy said, okay, that's not such a bad thing. That's what the person wanted. But the Sabbath Mikhail said, well, there is the danger. And because of that, you should rethink the way you set up your business. Because if a person could do that, once they'll start thinking that they could make calculations in the store, then the next day, the person will be more hectic than themselves. They'll justify themselves and they'll say, I don't have enough change, but it's okay. And then Sabbath Mikhail says, pretty soon that person's going to think he's the baal bas of the store. It's his store. And to cause a mikshel of that, a stumbling block in town, is not a good thing. So he listened to the advice, and he either closed the store, or he says in the story, he closed the store. I don't know why he closed the store. He could have just hired a worker, but whatever it was. So what happened, he closed the store. So you see, that is the danger of the attitude of being overly machmir all the time, that a person thinks that he's the baal bas, and that story is a great way of exemplifying that. And then he says a third problem, that if a person is machmir and doesn't have the koach havchana to be able to see things clearly, what's right, what's wrong, so what he thinks slowly, what's going to creep into his attitude is that his chumras are ikar adin. I'm machmir, I feel this is the right way to go. That means he's going to forget over time that it's a chumra. This is the only way to do it. And then he's going to for who he was, a great Rosh Yeshiva, it's very interesting to hear him say it. A person's going to start to think about other people who aren't machmir, not just as doing a great job. He's going to start thinking less of them. It's going to your chumras. It's another example, we say every kula is atili de kula. Every chumra is going to lead to a kula, not just in and of itself in that halacha, but in terms of who says that to be so machmir ben adam lemakom, where it could cause a zilzal in ben adam lechavero. That may not be the way to go. And actually, the story just came to mind. Someone told me, who was close to Rav Moshe Tversky, who was killed by Kiddush Hashem in the massacre in Har Nof, that he was known for his chumras. He came from the Brisker Misori, and all the Brisker chumras, and he was always thinking he had, the girl they always asked the Vilna Gaon, how come he doesn't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, like many people are, the Hasidim were accustomed to do. So the Gra said, if I start wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, I'm going to have to wear 40 pairs of Tefillin, because if I try to add up all the different shittos of Tefillin, I'm not going to just get the two different pairs, I'm going to have 40. So I think that Rav Moshe Tversky had like 5-6 pairs of Tefillin that he would wear every day. And when he got married, he married the daughter of Abba Berman, who was a Rosh Shiva in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So when they got engaged, so at first Rav Abba Berman came from a different Misora where he wasn't so into Chumras, and he was thought it was a little strange, like all these chumras, why does he have to have all these chumras? And then he said, he was modal emes, he said, until I met him, I would question chumras, but then I met someone who, if not equally, maybe even more so, was machmir ben adam lechavero, as he was in ben adam lemakom, and then I thought the chumras were okay. And that's the proper example, that if you're machmir to wear 6 pairs of tefillin, you're probably machmir also to make sure you've paid back loans, that 6 loans that maybe you weren't even obligated to pay back, or all different types of ben adam l'chaver situations. That's what a chumra should do. But to take our chumras to cause a zilzal in ben adam l'chavero, not necessarily the way to go. And he quotes another example of that, and that is the Vilna Gaon. Let's start from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon once looked at the way another great gadol in that generation learned. They had a very different style of learning. The other gadol was more into pilpul, and he would learn everything and ask all these questions and try to create these whole big complicated structures. And the Vilna Gaon was more of like a Pashtun, learning very simply. And they asked the Vilna Gaon, you're such a genius, why don't you try to learn like that other genius? And the Vilna Gaon said that I'm concerned that if I learn that way, and if I start asking all these questions and making my own very creative svaros, I'm going to start to question what the Rishonim were saying, because I'm going to be so caught up with the way I'm looking at things, and it could cause me to be mezalzel, chas v'shalom, in a Rishon. So I'd rather learn in a more simpler way, where I could just have things clarity, this is what they said, and this is what he said, that won't cause the zilzal. It's the same idea, a person getting carried away with their own understanding. So then who should be machmir, he asks. Who should be machmir? And he quotes a story in the Gemara. The Gemara says that someone named Eliezer Ze'ira, You'll see why Zeir means small. Why they call, must have been a euphemism. They called him Eliezer, the small Eliezer. He was once, Eliezer small. Maybe he was a tzaddik as much as Eliezer Zeir. He is a tzaddik as much as Eliezer Zeir. Was once walking in the shuk, and he was wearing black shoes. Remember Baba Kama. He was wearing black shoes. He was walking publicly in the shuk wearing black shoes. And we'll think, okay, black shoes. But the Gemara explains that then maybe people wore other colored shoes. Black shoes were a sign of mourning. And they said, why are you wearing black shoes? Is there something to be mourning over? And he said, yeah, I'm mourning over Yerushalayim. And they said to him, who are you? You're someone to publicly mourn over Yerushalayim? And that, it's interesting, the twist to the Gemara, you have to look into why exactly it says this. They wanted to lock him up. They wanted to lock him up in jail for showing, the Gemara calls Yura, to being outwardly machmir in a way that wasn't befitting of him. And then he said, no, really. First he tried to, because he's Eliezer Zeir, he was a humble man, he tried to just get them away, and they wouldn't budge, and they were going to lock him up. So he says, I'm a gaver rabba. I'm a great person. He had to admit it. He's going to be locked up. He said, I'm a great person. So they said, how do you know? How do we know? Prove it.
He took advantage of his status.
Okay, he was going to be locked in jail. Okay, that's a good question. You'll have to see. So he said to them, they said to him, prove it. We were talking a few weeks ago. He said, prove it. Kesser Torah, right? They said to him, prove it. Prove to us that you're a great person, we'll leave you alone. We can't just say you're a great person. So his response to them was, ask me. Meaning, Rashi explains, ask me anything. Ask me anything and I'll give you an answer. And Moshe Shapiro says, that's a person who could be publicly machmir. Someone who feels that at the point of ask me, he didn't just say ask me halacha, ask me anything. I have such an understanding, I have such knowledge that if you ask me anything, I'll have a thought out good answer for you. That's a great person. As Gemara said, Eliezer Zeir. Great people can be machmir even publicly, and it's not Yura. It's not seen as being outwardly taking pride in those chumras. And similar, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to say, Mashal, as Mashal said in different forms, but Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says that someone who is machmir, not according to their madrigos, they're really not such a lofty high person, and they're taking chumra here, chumra there. So it's the Mashal, the person who is wearing his pajamas that he wears at night, and he has a fancy tie on his pajamas. That's a person who is machmir, not according to his madriga, meaning that his personality, he's a regular guy, he's in his pajamas. So it looks ridiculous to put, you know, other ways they quote from other people, is to wear cufflinks on pajamas. Same idea. That you're just a regular, you're simple, you're a good person, you're a good Jew. But to put on these, the Sfarim talk about chumras, they refer to them as tachshitim, jewels, jewelry, that you're doing the mitzvah, you have the mitzvah. Now if you want to be machmir and add more jewels to the mitzvah, first, make sure you have a good wardrobe, and then a basic wardrobe, then you can add jewels. Now we spend some time talking about the downside of chumras. There is upsides of chumras. First of all, obviously, if a person is machmir misafik, even after he attempted to understand and asked the Rav, I've had shilas before where I tried to look into it, and I asked the Rav and said this, he said that, and I once asked a specific question. I asked someone, I said, would this be, you know, is this a chumrah? Because it's really a bona fide suffix. And he said, yes. So then that's a place where a person can be machmir, because he looked into it, he's knowledgeable. He asked the Rav, and the Rav's still saying, okay, you could be makel. There is a strong side to machmir, so that's a good chumrah. Another aspect of chumrah, which the Mesillas Yesharim talks about, is that it stems from Avas Hashem. And if a person's growing, you don't have to be at a high madriga in one day. So you add chumras as you go, and a person out of his love of Hashem realizes that Hashem gave us the basic mitzvah, but there's much more that he wants behind the scenes of the mitzvah. He's just revealing his main ratzon, that we said this mashal, and actually we said in the introductory shiur of what it means to be a chassid. That's what a chassid means. That we said the mashal of a father asks his son one time to get him, you know, his coffee, his donut, his newspaper. Just one specific situation. So the son who loves his father, every Sunday morning will have that set up for him, not just on that one situation. And that's what the Torah is. It's a guidebook. This, the basic things that we do, how to fill the Ratzon Hashem, is endless. So to those chumras that come out of Avas Hashem, a person has to know himself and test them, obviously have a great place. And the question that we raise is, you know, where is there room for a person to find his own individuality in the halachic system? That's really what a good chumra does. A good chumra, there's one type of chumra, like we said, from a suffik. But let's say you don't have a suffik. You know the halacha really is, this is mutter, or you're yotzei the mitzvah on a basic level. But because a person wants to do more, wants to give more to Hashem, starts to investigate and looks into the svarim and looks into the different halachos of that mitzvah, and he realizes these are really chumras. You could accomplish the mitzvah fine without them. But I want to put my own stamp on this mitzvah. How do I make this mitzvah mine? How do I acquire this mitzvah to be mine? And every people, then sometimes you can have a chumrah in a specific area. If a person really connects to the mitzvah of esrog, he's going to go out and learn everything there is to learn about the esrog, spend a lot of time finding his esrog, and then he could really connect to that esrog on sukkahs. And that could be true in many mitzvahs. This is probably more true in mitzvahs than los aseis, but could be understood in los aseis as well. And the chumrah is really coming from a clear understanding of the halacha and saying, I want to make this mitzvah mine. And we're short on time, but that really is the whole idea of a karban that we find in Parshas Vayikra. A karban, what can we give to Hashem? It's a joke. Obviously, we're not giving anything to Hashem. He controls the world. He owns the world. He created this animal. He obviously has no need for this animal. But you'll see, if you very inspiring comments from Rabbeinu Yonah in a different sefer, in his Shar Avoda, the last source in the sheet, describes that what a person puts into a karban, he's putting himself in it. As the pasuk says, nefesh ki sakriv. You're bringing your nefesh. You're bringing yourself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you should view yourself, the Ramban Alut says, you should view yourself as, especially if a person is bringing a carbon on a sin, but even if it's just a nedava out of his own free will, he's a replacement of that. The carbon's a replacement of him, like at Akedas Yitzchak. It's Mesiras Nefesh. He's bringing his own nefesh towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's putting his own personal stamp. It's a very personal mitzvah. It's not just a mitzvah that we do by rote, a carbon. And all the details, the halachas of the carbon, really center around that point. To realize that we could, Hashem doesn't need it from us, but from our perspective, the way Hashem wants us to view it is that we can do things for Him. What can we do for Him? We're moser nefesh. We try hard. And that, in terms of mitzvos, is there is a place for a chumrah, and there is a place for going an extra mile. That's where if it comes from a serious nefesh, a desire to fulfill the will of Hashem the best way he can. So first of all, a person should make sure he's doing the mitzvah on a basic level, and then to try to add more, as the Sfarim say, it's tachshitim, jewels to beautify our mitzvos. It's really the same message of the carbon to put our own imprint on every mitzvah and gain a more intimate, closer relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah,